At this time, it's the opening comments with each candidate, and they both have a limit of 2 minutes, and we begin with Lillian.
Hi, well, let me first start by thanking the Los Cerritos Neighborhood Association, and most of all of you for being here tonight. I want to give you just a little bit of background about myself. My parents were Japanese Americans and born in the United States, but when World War II broke out, they were forced to live in relocation camps. And after camp, my father actually joined the U.S. Army and became a career military officer. And I remember one day sort of asking him, Dad, why would you join the Army when they put you in camp and you and your family lost almost everything? And he said to me, it's because it is important for me to serve my country, to serve my community, and also because it's the right thing to do. And so that kind of sense of service, that sense of integrity, the right thing to do, has been something that has really guided me all of my life. I have more than 30 years of experience working in local government. I was an assistant general manager, Department of Water and Power. I had the community development department with a budget of more than $300 million a year and 500 people. And so with that kind of experience with the Port of Los Angeles, my work at the Environmental Affairs, I know that if I'm elected on day one, I can come in, I don't need to learn the job, I can spend my time actually meeting the challenges that face Long Beach today.
Al, your opening comments, 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you to Los Cerritos Neighborhood Association. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the committee for putting this together. Thank you all for being here and taking time out of your evening to indulge us. My name is Al Austin, and I want to serve you for the next 4 years as your city council member. I love Long Beach. I moved to Long Beach as an employee of McDonnell Douglas in 1986. I had the privilege as a young man to put my stamp on the very first C-17. This city has given me so much, and I want to give back. I was educated in Long Beach. I went to Long Beach City College, went on to the University of La Verne, and got my undergraduate degree, and then went to graduate school at Cal State Long Beach. This city has given me much, and I want to give back. I bought my first home in Long Beach in 1997, and then we made probably the best decision that we ever made by buying a home in the Bixby Knolls Country Club Manor area in 2001, where I'm raising my family and have been raising my family since. My children attend Los Cerritos Elementary School, and me and my wife are very active participants in this community. I've been approached by many residents over the last several months, over the last year, encouraging me to run. They said, Al, we want someone who understands Long Beach. We want someone who has leadership experience. We want someone who understands our neighborhoods, who understands our children, somebody who's going to be sensitive to our seniors, somebody who has experience in our neighborhoods and in community organizations as a volunteer at the grassroots. Somebody who's going to stand up and fight for the issues that we care about as 8th District residents, as an independent voice. I believe that I'm that candidate, and I'd be honored to have your vote on April the 10th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We are now going to begin with the warm-up questions. And before I start to get into this, the press were given the packets, correct? They did? Okay, very good. If there's anyone afterwards, they can pick them up after the debate. These are the warm-up questions. The candidates have been given these in advance. They are 30-second responses, and we're going to start with Al on this one, followed by Lillian. First question on the warm-up question, and it's 30 seconds for a response. Name three specific people or organizations that you would want people to know publicly support your candidacy and why. You have 30 seconds. Al?
I'm supported by our current council member, Ray Gavlich. I'm supported by former council member in the 8th District, Rob Webb. I'm supported by our Long Beach police officers and firefighters because they believe that I'm going to be the candidate who's going to be strong on public safety issues and keep our neighborhood safe. I'm proud of the endorsements that I have. I have those endorsements and many others from the community, the endorsements that matter. Thank you very much.
Lily.
I have the endorsement from Mayor Beverly O'Neill, the only mayor that has served three terms, also with Supervisor Don Canabi and our own school board representative, Mary Stanton. And I think this speaks to the kind of diversity of people that I want to work with so that we can all collectively make our community and city a better place to live.
Thank you. Next question, I'll begin with Lillian. Name the three individuals or organizations that have donated the largest amount of money to your campaign. Again, you have 30 seconds.
You know, the city of Long Beach has a maximum of $350 per contribution. And I have more than 150, close to 200 now, individual donors. And so I have to say that one of the things I also do is I won't ask anybody to give money if I'm not willing to do that. So I have also contributed to my own campaign.
Thank you. Al?
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to have contributions from over 250 donors, and most of them are small donors who've never given to a candidate before. I have contributions and received support from people in this room and in this community. To Deputy District Attorney John Harlins is one of my very first contributors. I worked for AFSCME, and so I got a lot of support from the organization and the people, hardworking people that work for AFSCME. As well as the Long Beach Police Officers Association.
Thank you. The next question is there one person, and we'll begin with Al, is there one person or organization that you would want people to know publicly supports your opponent, and explain why? 30 seconds.
Well, yes, it's very strange that the Long Beach Chamber of Commerce came out very early in support of my opponent, Ms. Kawasaki. Long Beach Chamber of Commerce, in my opinion, hasn't done anything to support the neighborhoods in the 8th District. And as a matter of fact, they've advocated for policies that have been absolutely outside of the interest of the residents of this community, particularly when it comes to the airport.
Lillian, same question.
You know, I think this is about issues, and I'm not willing to stand here, and I want to keep this very positive. I will say, however, that I've also got the endorsement of the Sierra Club and the LA League of Conservation, very strong environmental groups that also are here to support me as well.
All right, now we're going to the first question. And this is a question that was submitted from one candidate to be asked to the other candidate. They are going to have a two-minute response time. And after that response, the candidate asking the question will have a one-minute rebuttal. The first question is going to be Lillian's first question to Al. And the question, Al, is the following. You have recently stated in interviews that you spent the last 8 years as a union representative and fundraiser working in 11 states. How would that career experience contribute to helping retain and grow our small businesses in the 8th District and citywide while attracting new businesses to set up shop here? Again, you have 2 minutes.
Well, that's an interesting question. I did spend the last 8 years working for a national labor organization. I was able to gain a great amount of experience working in municipalities and cities and states throughout the West. Specifically, it has given me organizational skills. It's given me the ability to bring people together. It's been given me the ability to identify problems and problem solve with large groups of people, often with their very diverse interests. So specifically, no, I don't know about, you know, that I've answered your question specifically, but I can tell you that I have the experience, the energy, and the conviction to get it done. So thank you very much for the question.
Thank you. Lillian, your response. 1 minute.
You know, small businesses are the backbone of our economy. Just go to Atlantic Avenue and Long Beach Boulevard corridors, and we need to do more and get more businesses there. I've managed many of the small business programs. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected, I will ensure that in my office there will be a small business ombudsman, somebody that can help navigate the city hall for approvals, somebody that can actively recruit businesses to come into our area, and also to help retain and grow the ones that we have existing, because we have the empowerment zone. We have the enterprise communities. We have the very incentives, and an ombudsman could be there to really help revitalize our district.
Thank you. Al, 1 minute response.
Well, specifically, let me go back to that. I think the missing element for our small business community, particularly in the 8th District, is organization. We have a thriving business corridor on Atlantic. It's our main street. It should be the model, I think, across the city. It shows that a business improvement district can work. But we need to expand that north. We need to expand that west. We need to expand that east to capture the success that we're having on Atlantic and improve upon that. I believe my organizational skills, my ability to bring organizations together, to bring people together, to advocate, will be very, very useful in helping to help our small businesses grow and develop in the 8th District.
Thank you. Al's first question to Lillian is, Lillian, in the 8 years you have lived in Long Beach, how have you volunteered your time to work with residents to address the needs of the 8th District? You have 2 minutes.
You know, my husband and I moved here 8 years ago, and we really love this community. And one of the things we did was we committed to getting involved actively. Mayor Beverly O'Neill appointed me to the Long Beach Water Commission, right here around the corner. Great conservation programs. I was also on the board of the Historical Society, right here on Atlantic in the 8th District. I work closely with Kathy and Kim, I hope they're here tonight, you know, volunteering with Hughes and Longfellow Schools to help green that campus. And right now where I'm working really hard, and I need your help, is to really save Will J. Reed Park, and or AKA the Boy Scout Camp, because this is a very important piece of property just up the street. I've also been, at First Fridays, I make sure that I have cars, my husband and I have cars every year at Ray's car show. There's many things that we support, including the theater, and here at the Shakespeare Festival, or the Shakespeare Theater, I bring my family and friends to come down. So I appreciate that very much, because it is such a wonderful place to live, and there are so many ways to spend your time and energy and your dollars. So thank you for that question.
Thank you, Al. 1 minute response.
Yes, I agree. It is a wonderful place to live, and it's also a wonderful place to be involved in. I don't have to make up a community service record. I've probably forgotten more activities than my opponent has actually done in this community. And I don't mean that as any disrespect, but I do think it speaks to the nature and the ability to effectively represent this entire district. I've been involved in nonprofit organizations. I've been involved in youth organizations. I've been involved in as a city commissioner before. I've done as much, if not more, over the last 20 years in this community. And I really just think that, you know, if I were to go before a judge and ask for community service, First Fridays and the car show would not qualify.
All right, we're now going to enter an area, and all these questions, again, have come from the community. I've just tried to consolidate them the best I can. They've been referred to as the lightning round. Essentially, the responses are from the candidates, so it's very quick. There's no explanation. The answers are support, oppose, or no opinion. For example, to loosen you all up, if I said USC, your answer would be? Okay, UCLA, we'll make this easy. All right. Okay, well, now that I've got everyone all riled up, now I'll get to the actual questions. And I believe there's just a group of about 10 questions, but again, we'll start with on this one. It'll be with Al. Again, the response is support, oppose, or no opinion. First question is, the recent council action to close medical marijuana facilities in the city of Long Beach. Al, did you support, oppose, or no opinion on that?
Oppose.
Oppose. Lillian, your position on that one?
Support the ban.
Support. Next question, we're going to start with Lillian on this one. The proposed expansion of the ICTF rail facility in the city's west side. Lillian?
Undecided till the work comes out, the EIR.
No opinion. Al?
No opinion.
Next one. Again, support, oppose, or no opinion? Replacing the current city manager system with a strong mayor-run city government, starting with Al.
Opposed.
Opposed. Lillian?
Opposed.
Opposed. The next one, support or oppose, or no opinion? Private businesses being required to sign project labor agreements, are called PLAs, to do work in and for the city of Long Beach. And we're going to start with Lillian.
Did you say required?
Required. I'll read it again. Private businesses being required to sign project labor agreements, PLAs, to do work in and for the city of Long Beach.
Opposed.
Opposed. Al?
I want to clarify, did you say for public projects?
Yes.
Publicly funded projects?
I didn't put all that in there.
Okay. I support.
Thank you. Next one. Proposed elimination of this year's Police Academy class. Support, oppose, or no opinion? We'll start with. Proposed elimination of this year's Police Academy class.
Oppose.
Oppose. Lillian?
Oppose.
Oppose. Next one. Same-sex marriages. Lillian?
Support.
Support. Al?
Support.
Support. Support or oppose? A fee increase to the local businesses to support and operate the Bixby Knowles Business Improvement Association. And we'll begin with Al.
I would need more information. Opinion.
Okay. A fee increase to the local businesses to support and operate the Bixby Knowles Business Improvement Association. Lillian?
I'll say undecided.
Or no opinion. Support or oppose, no opinion. I'm only laughing because I've had to put these together. Efforts, and this one will begin with Lillian. Efforts to unify the Los Cerritos neighborhood in one council district with one representative. Okay, then I did that question. You're going to start with Lillian.
All right, support.
Al?
100% support.
Thank you. They're not all tough. The following are questions that were submitted by the community prior to this forum. First candidate responding will have 2 minutes, and then the other candidate will also have 2 minutes to respond. And the first question, and Al, you're going to have this first question first. The city is currently moving forward on the modernization of the airport that will increase the size of the terminal. What if an airline sues the city, challenges the noise ordinance, and limitations on the number of flights, arguing the larger terminal can accommodate more people and aircraft. And regardless of the political rhetoric, the city's action of enlarging the facility is a clear message that Long Beach wants more flights, also that a more active commercial airport benefits the city financially with tourism, and that the opposition is only a small but vocal minority. As a representative of one of the most airport-impacted areas, how would you respond to this statement? Al, 2 minutes.
Well, thank you for the statement and the question. I would, first of all, say I would err on the side of that small and vocal minority. If you could say hush three, I would say hush three. I would, as a city council member, reorganize and activate the citizens to actually oppose that, and I think we have a very, very strong activist community here. I do think there is a direct correlation between the size of the airport and flights. Make no mistake about it. We can't enlarge our airport without inviting more flights into Long Beach. The residents of the 8th District have spoken loud and clear over the last 10 years. It's very clear that over the last 20 years or so, and it's very clear that the residents here believe that that is a quality of life issue, and as an elected city council member, I would have a fiduciary responsibility to you, the citizens, to oppose any efforts to expand our efforts or to increase flights. That you can take to the bank. I will do that. And I want to recognize a couple of leaders here this evening. I see Councilmember Ray Gavlich. Thank you for your efforts. I live under the flight path, by the way. I see the belly of the planes every morning at 7 o'clock. 7:06, I can count on a wake-up call. Thank you for your efforts to improve the quality of life in the 8th District over the last 8 years. Mike Cole, thank you for your activism, and thank you for the many residents here who fought so hard to keep the ordinance where it is.
Thank you. Lillian, 2 minutes.
Yes, you know, living under the flight path as well, I think we know that we need to do whatever we can to protect this noise ordinance. We're very special that this airport seems to be the only airport that actually has these restrictions on them. So there are some very specific provisions in that noise ordinance, and we need to make sure that we are actually complying with those provisions so that we can maintain that and legally defend that ordinance.
Thank you. The next question, and Lillian, you are going to begin with the answer on this one. There is a unique tradition in our neighborhood on the 4th of July. But last year, the city began requesting fees for having a parade, the blocking of city streets, and the use of the city park. The city also wants people to be stationed at all intersections for traffic control, and finally, to have someone or some organization be legally liable and responsible for the overall event. Now, there's no formal structure to the event, but a lot of people obviously show up. The city and the neighborhood have a dilemma, and obviously so does the council member. What would you do? Well, obviously the city wants to treat the 4th of July parade like other events in the city, and the residents of the neighborhood want the city to leave them alone. As council member, Lillian, beginning with you, what would you do?
Well, I'm assuming that the option that the Los Cerritos Neighborhood Association is not going to be that fiduciary responsibility. I do think that is something that we do need to talk about because the association does, in fact, represent all of us. I know that it is kind of a balance between we love our 4th of July parade. In fact, it starts at our house. But the fact is, though, that we want to make sure that it is treated fairly, that we can actually have an event. I can recall that one of the events that our councilwoman actually wasn't there because it was a non-event. And so I have to say that, you know, it's probably would be something where I would work closely with the association and the council office to, in fact, make sure that the parade and the non-event had the proper permits so that everybody could come and be part of the enjoyment, including the council person.
Thank you. Al, 2 minutes.
What event? I've had the opportunity to attend the non-event and put my dogs and my kids ride their bikes along the path. It is a wonderful community event. It brings us together. It is the essence of this neighborhood in many ways. That as well as the gatherings in the park with the municipal band. It is the character. It makes up the character of the Los Cerritos neighborhood. And as a city council member, I certainly would work with you to make sure that that event is something that is continued and obviously not a drain on city resources and budgets. I mean, so much of what we do as a community, and when I talk about the wonderful part of living in this neighborhood, is we do it just because we can. We do it because people get together and make things happen. And I don't think government on the local government or any other level should ever interfere with the ability, particularly on Independence Day, for a community to get together and make something happen like that. So thank you very much for that question.
Thank you. The next question, and Al, we're going to begin with you on this one. This past year, the city council was involved in redistricting and the moving of district boundary lines. This neighborhood and the council representative were in the center of the controversy. Los Cerritos neighborhood was eventually split between the 7th and 8th district. Prior to that action, proposals to split Bixby Knolls and the Bixby Knolls Business Improvement Association were also introduced. Your thoughts and what you would have done as the council member during the redistricting process to gather votes that would have protected the district. Al, 2 minutes.
That obviously was a low point in our city's history. The redistricting exercise is a political exercise. I've maintained that for years. I had the privilege of working as an aide to a state senator during the last redistricting process. It wasn't so public. It wasn't so public. People weren't as involved in the process. This time around, people got involved, particularly when we sought to split communities that are whole. And when you look at communities of interest, it was a very difficult decision, I'm sure, for the city council to embark on. But I want to say that Ray was out there by herself fighting for this community. I would have done the same. I may have had a few more private meetings, and I think that process, like I said, is a political process. It's not something that's going to necessarily be done publicly, and there won't be a whole lot of transparency on it. It's just the reality of redistricting. We had four or five different options. People were able to comment on those options, and unfortunately, we lost a major chunk of our community in that process. Like I said, I think it was a low point because people here were activated. People here were passionate about the issue, and the majority of the city council failed to listen. And so it was a low point in our city's history, and I don't want to see us revisit that ever again. I think we can do better 10 years from now.
Thank you. Lillian.
You know, it was an extremely difficult time and divided the community, and still in many ways continues to divide the community. And I think as a council person, you know, what I would have tried to do was actually to negotiate more closely with the rest of the council members, because as was pointed out, it's a political process. We knew that some of the, because of the census, some of the people had to move, and we had to move people out of this district. But I think we could have done something that could have been less onerous on us. Certainly we had a process that could have been much more open. I know that Ray worked very hard to do that. Some of you went to bed at night thinking you were in the 8th and woke up in the morning and you were in the 7th. So I think this is something earlier on through the process, so that if in 10 years from now we have to go again through this, that there be a much clearer understanding of the schedule and the timeline, so that the community is not jammed in that last minute, so that we have enough time for people to be able to participate and to actually participate in a way that impacts and influences the decision. And I think we could have had probably, we had to make some changes, but I would have hoped that we could have had a much more positive both process and a much more positive outcome.
Thank you. Next question. We'll begin this one with Lillian. Very straightforward. What do you believe are the most important issues facing the 8th District and why? Lillian, 2 minutes.
Well, clearly one of the issues is about business and growing business and jobs. And we know that we love our corridors, but we need to do more, particularly around small businesses in the corridor. But also it's around public safety. And although we talk about public safety as if it's just crime, well, we do know that all violent crimes are down. We're seeing a lot more residential, a lot more serious crimes coming back. And so we do need to deal with public safety on the crime level. I support the gang injunctions. I support and have had a lot of experience actually working on gang prevention programs, even with Chief McDonald, who is our police chief here. But we also have quality of life issues that also cause safety. Things like fixing potholes, trees, sidewalks, and the like. Those are not only for the aesthetics, but they actually cause public safety issues. One of them that I hear consistently is the round issue of traffic. That we have traffic concerns at intersections, but also traffic, particularly near schools, of people speeding and really not having sufficient controls to make sure that everybody's safe. And then finally, I think another issue that I hear consistently about is also the budget deficit. And particularly since we lost the redevelopment agency, one, how do we make up that budget deficit? But how do we in the 8th District continue to grow, continue to revitalize our entire corridor from Market Street down Bixby Road?
Thank you. Now we're going to go to the second question from each candidate to the other candidate, and this one is going to be Al's. I'm sorry, Al. Okay, I'll leave now. It's all right. Al, you still have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I've been talking to residents. I've been to many of your doors. I've been throughout this community for several weeks, knocking on doors and talking to residents, and I can tell you the top two issues that I hear constantly. It's public safety, it's crime, it's street repairs. Our streets are a mess and they definitely need attention. We need to figure out a way to really deliver the services that we all pay for as taxpayers, and that's cleaning up our streets, paving our streets and sidewalks, and making those streets and sidewalks safe for everybody. I mean, we have an aging community here in this community, seniors, children on bikes, people pushing strollers, and the streets are in bad shape throughout the district. And to the credit of Ray and the staff there, they have done a good job of fixing those streets throughout the district. But you know, there's only so much that can be done under the current budget situation. Public safety is the number one issue that we hear about. Every block that I've gone to, every household that I've talked to, someone knows somebody or has been personally impacted by crime. Property crime is up, way up. And people, I'm telling you, it's not just your neighborhood. It's not just your block. It's throughout this district. Public safety is an issue. Our staffing levels are dangerously low right now. We are at 1992 staffing levels. I actually was in Long Beach in 1992. Not a good time in our history. We have gone a long way in terms of improving the quality of life with staffing and our public safety, and we over the last 5 years have gone backwards. We need to really do something to stop that gap really soon.
All right. Thank you, Al. Sorry. Now, we'll go to the second question from the candidate. And this is going to be Al's second question to Lillian. And Lillian, the question is, at the last candidate forum, you stated that you were in support of the proportional share approach to budgeting, which means that 70% of any new cuts would be to public safety services. How many more police officers and firefighters do you believe we can afford to cut? 2 minute response.
I generally do support the proportional share. And what this means is that when you have good times, various departments out of the general fund share in those benefits, but during the bad times with our budget deficits, they also have to take a cut. And we know, and I qualify that, and I, if you recall, I even said I support an academy, because I am concerned, as all of you, that the police number of police officers continue to fall. But however, if you read the paper today in the press telegram, you will see that it is not an easy decision. If you fully fund those academy with 30 to 40 officers, do you know what the impact will be on the libraries, the impact on rec and parks, many of those things? On the public works had a huge one. We were just talking about how important potholes and trees and safety is. And so I think this is where I have to say on the proportional share, we have to go back and look at them on a case-by-case basis. But what's equally important on the budget side is we have to look at the budget deficit, but we have to spend time as a city, as an elected body, really looking to growing the revenues. And I think that's the part that I would like to focus on as much as on the budget deficit side, because we have some real opportunities, such as doing green technology, capturing a lot of the goods and services that come out of the ports. We have great opportunity around what they call buying companies, so that, like Edison, purchases a lot of their equipment and supply right here in Long Beach, not for Long Beach consumption, but for the surrounding areas. And so I really say proportional share, yes, if we can do it on a case-by-case basis, but we need to look at the budget deficit and also grow the revenue.
Thank you. Al, 1 minute, Duddle.
Well, I think proportional share has its time. I think during good budgetary times, under normal circumstances, when our budget is flush and we haven't had six straight years of cuts, proportional share is probably an effective approach to budgeting. But today, we've had six straight years of cuts, and public safety is really hurting right now. We have realignment coming from the state of California, where we know that thousands of parolees are coming back to Long Beach over the next 3 years. Yeah, I don't think we can afford to have a standardized form of budgeting. We have to prioritize public safety. We have to make tough decisions and ask the tough questions as city council members. I don't want to go along to get along as a city council member. I want to fight for this community, and I'd love to have that opportunity to do so.
Thank you. This is Lillian's second question to be presented to Al. Al, the question is, do you support medical marijuana being sold from storefronts in our community? You have 2 minutes.
Let me be very clear. I support access to alternative medicine. I support the Compassionate Care Act. Now, in terms of medical marijuana from storefronts, I support access, but I would like the city council to have control over that. Where we are right now, I'm not too sure, because the courts have given conflicting rulings all the way around. They say you can't ban. They say you can't. We are in a situation where I think our city right now has somewhat we're in an awkward position. I do support the compassionate care. I support being able to regulate it. I support the efforts that the city council made to address the concerns and the many concerns of the community and the residents by stating that, hey, you know what? We want these facilities to be a certain distance away from our children. We want to put conditions on these facilities. We want to establish fees for these facilities to operate, and we want to be able to regulate them. We made those efforts, and unfortunately, it was overturned and challenged in the courts. And so now we are stuck with a Supreme Court decision, and I'm anxiously awaiting what that will be, because it will give us clarification, it will give us direction. But recently, just this past week, we got a ruling in Santa Ana that says that bans are you cannot ban these facilities. And so the courts, this is legal mumbo jumbo. We need direction from the federal government as well as the state. And this is where all arms of government are kind of in conflict right now, local, state, and federal.
Thank you. Lillian, 1 minute response.
You know, when I'm walking in our neighborhoods, the one thing I've been hearing a lot of is this issue of crime. And yet where so much of it is occurring, especially on vandalism, is right there near some of these illegally operating marijuana collectives. I support passionate care. Nobody wants to see people suffer. But when we have illegally operating collectives, when they can come in and continue to expand, we need to take action. I have called the city prosecutor and asked him about proper enforcement on some of these. There's one in particular that is very bad. And he has committed to meet with some of the community members so that they can understand what their alternatives are. Because frankly, some of them are even talking about moving out of the area because of the concerns about safety for the property and for their own children and themselves.
Thank you. Now we're going to go to another round of the questions where the response will simply be support, oppose, or no opinion. And the first one, and Al, you're going to have the first opportunity to respond to it on support, oppose, or no opinion. Rent control, City of Long Beach, support, oppose, or no opinion?
No opinion.
No opinion? Lillian, rent control.
I oppose.
Oppose. Next question, Lillian, you will begin. Building more low-income or subsidized housing in the City of Long Beach, support, oppose, or no opinion?
Support.
Support. Al?
I support.
Support. Next one. Al, you will respond first to this one. Competitive bidding from private companies or outsourcing on city services other than public safety.
Opposed.
Opposed? Lily.
No opinion.
No opinion? Support or oppose or no opinion? The idea of constructing a second level on portions of the 710 Long Beach Freeway to address traffic gridlock. And we'll begin with Lillian.
Oppose.
Oppose. Al?
I support.
Support?
I support an at-grade level with Los Cerritos.
Support or oppose or no opinion? And we'll begin with Al. To increase the city's utility tax from its current level. Increase the city utility tax from its current level.
I support that. I'm sorry.
Support? Support the increase of the city utilities tax. Lillian, same question.
At this time, no opinion.
No opinion? Next question. We'll begin with Lillian on this. Increasing the amount of revenues that the Port of Long Beach contributes annually to the City of Long Beach's general fund. Support, propose, or no opinion to increasing the amount of revenue that this Port of Long Beach contributes annually to the city's general fund?
I can't clarify that, right? Okay, so I'm going to say I've decided because I think you had a state tie dance issue.
Al?
I support.
Support. Next question, we begin with Al. Support or oppose or no opinion? An election process of only voting by mail, not at the polling booth. And this is going to begin with Al. An election process of only voting by mail.
I No opinion.
No opinion? That's fine. It's all right. Support or oppose, or no opinion?
I would agree, no opinion.
No opinion, okay? Does the person that gave me that question want to weigh in, so?
No, I gave him the sticker.
Support or oppose, or no opinion? We're going to begin with Lillian. Same area. The city going to an election process of ranked choice voting, also known as instant voter runoff. The city going to an election process of ranked choice voting, also known as instant voter runoff. Lillian, you go first.
I'm still undecided about that.
Undecided? Al?
No opinion on that.
No opinion? All right. We've finished those questions. Now we're going to move on to more questions that were submitted by the community prior to the forum. The first candidate will be giving 2 minutes to respond, as both candidates will. This one is going to begin with Al. And the question is, there was a recent council decision regarding a proposed development at the corner of PCH and 2nd Street, currently a hotel, where the developer requested an increase in the allowable height and density of the project to make it, in the words of the developer, economically viable. Certain properties along Long Beach Boulevard in the neighborhood could someday face a similar scenario. Your opinion on allowing buildings to go higher, increase the density, or change the current use to assist the developer? Essentially, the question was, what is your vision of what Long Beach Boulevard north of the 405 freeway to San Antonio should look like in the future? Can we begin with Al in 2 minutes?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that that is a very controversial issue in the city. And I believe that for developers, projects always have to, they have to pencil out. My obligation would be to the citizens and the resident. And community involvement and the community around 2nd and PCH, I think, spoke resoundingly clear that they were opposed to the changing the zoning laws to give them a higher height restriction or higher height level for that project. I think there is opportunity still yet to make that project happen. I am the last person in the world who wants to stand in the way of good opportunities to create jobs in this community and to create change in Long Beach. I think there is an opportunity to make something good happen on that, and that project has an opportunity and has a life and an opportunity to flourish. But the will of the community and the zoning laws in Long Beach have to be followed by development. I would take the same approach here on Long Beach Boulevard or any other area in the 8th District.
Thank you. Lillian, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I support good developments and good jobs, and as well as to remove blight. And on the PCH and 2nd Street, it's a moot point. The council voted on that and voted it down. But what they have put in place is something that I think, we would benefit here to have more of as well. They put in place an amendment process to their general plan. They call it the CDIP. And they're actually going to change the name now. But what it at its heart is that you bring together a group of diverse stakeholders, of business, of community, of nonprofit groups. You bring them together and you develop sort of a vision for your area. And that vision, though, has some very specific guidelines and standards. So people know from developers to the community to others what is expected, what is actually permittable in that area. I think we do not have as much of the regulatory issues as, say, they do down at PCH because they have a coastal commission. But still, I would support that kind of very general, a very specific process where the stakeholders would come together. We would agree on what kind of investment, what kind of development, and with clear standards we would want in this area.
Thank you. Next question. Lillian, you're going to begin with this one. What Occupy Wall Street issues, if any, personally resonates the most with you? What Occupy Wall Street issues, if any, personally resonate the most with you?
I share the concern about some of our large financial institutions. Many of them now have started collecting more and more fees. We've heard the difficult stories about, and we all know that actually, just trying to get a refinancing or getting a loan. So on one hand, these institutions have had bailouts, they've been given additional incentives, but we're not feeling those down here as we try to get loans, as we try to get small businesses, I think are particularly having a difficult time. And so this whole notion about making sure that you hate to say it, but it's very true that it's not only just Wall Street, but it's got to trickle down to real benefits in Main Street.
Thank you. Al?
Well, let me just first of all qualify. I haven't seen a manifesto or documentation of issues laid out by the Occupy movement. I know that they were protesting a lot of injustices or perceived injustices in society today, including the meltdown from Wall Street and the vilification of people who actually get up and go to work, punch a clock, and provide services and work hard every day for a living. That's an issue for me that I think resonates pretty resoundingly. I unfortunately did not have a chance to occupy or protest with anybody, but I was generally supportive of that message, that component of the message, and I think it raised the conscious level for a lot of people in our country.
Thank you. Next question, and Al, you'll get to begin on this one. As you walk the Los Cerritos neighborhood, what are the issues that you have heard that you would specifically address once you are elected?
Well, I'll beat on the public safety drum. And let me just be very clear. I was a commissioner on the CPCC. It's the Citizen Police Complaint Commission, appointed by Beverly O'Neill, our then mayor, from 2003 to 2007. I served as chair of that commission in my second year on the commission. And I got an opportunity to understand police work from a perspective that I never had learned before. I walked in as a 34-year-old young man on that commission and walked out enlightened about the work that they do and had a lot more respect about the work they do. Went on countless ride-alongs, single men in a car. That used to be my big issue. Why is there only one person in some of these cars where, we would send these guys in the dark alleys by themselves to break up, gang fights and domestic issues. That was a safety issue. Now that's no longer an issue because everybody's in the car by themselves. And we're short-staffed. And we are facing we're headed toward a train wreck in terms of public safety. So crime and public safety is a concern of mine. And when I say train wreck, I want to qualify that by saying we do know that the realignment plan coming from Sacramento is going to create further issues in our community of Long Beach. The people who are being released from prison right now are nonviolent offenders. Guess what they did? Most of them were property crimes. They were burglars. They were nonviolent offenders. And these are the issues that plague our community in the big numbers today. And so I think that would be a major issue that I would address.
Thank you. Lillian.
I hear issues of crime as well, and people want to feel safe, particularly a lot of our seniors, so crime is definitely an issue. I'd say, though, probably even equal to crime is sort of what they would call quality of life services. I can't tell you how many people take me out to the street and point up to those trees that haven't been trimmed, those potholes that have been there for 2 decades, as well as the sidewalks that are lifting. In fact, they've talked about how they can't even walk on their sidewalk. They have to walk out into the streets. I also mentioned the fact about the traffic, whether it's the traffic pattern or the actual speeding through the neighborhood streets. And I'm hearing a little bit more about air pollution and concern about air pollution and the importance for us to make sure that even though we love our community, that we have to have clean air and so that we have a really good opportunity in our neighborhoods to bike and walk. And lastly, I would mention also that I hear a lot about the marijuana collectives.
Thank you. Next question, Lily, you'll begin on this one. Once elected, you will immediately be dealing with a city budget that requires many difficult decisions. Something has to be cut, or taxes have to be raised. What will you do or champion during these difficult budget debates? Lillian?
You know, I've had 30 years of local government experience, as I mentioned, and I've run and had very large budgets. And, you know, none of them have been an easy time. So I know that we're going to have to look at all of the budget, look at where we can actually invest in efficiencies. But I also, again, have said that I think we have some real opportunities around on the revenue side that we need to bring into these budget discussions. Because at some point, you know, you can't continue to ask everybody to do more with less. And I have some very specific revenue ideas that I think could be things that could be implemented quickly. They don't require that we raise taxes. So on the revenue side, I have some good ideas that I think I can bring to the table day one, because this job will be in July. The new budget starts in October. On the cut side, again, I think there's a lot that we can do with respect to some of the efficiencies in the various departments. Also, be much more aggressive in terms of getting grants. If you look at the health department is, I think, over $100 million. About $1 million, if I've got my name, if I've got my facts correct, come from the general fund. Because what we're really talking about when we talk about the budget deficit is the current concern on the general fund. So I believe as a city, and I would certainly work hard at that because it's something that I know, aggressively pursue more partnerships, aggressively go after grants, both competitive grants but also discretionary grants.
Thank you. Al?
I need you to repeat that question.
Please. Once elected, you will immediately be dealing with a city budget that requires many difficult decisions. Something has to be cut or taxes have to be raised. What will you do or champion during the difficult budget debates?
Well, I will tell you it will be a difficult budget debate, and I will not and do everything I can to steer our city council and our city management against the proportional share approach to governing or budgeting. I believe that we are elected or would be elected as city council members to make those tough decisions and to prioritize as you residents have instructed us to. That's why when I go to visit doors, and I've knocked on many of yours, I ask you what's important to you. What do you believe are your priorities? Because when I understand within the first 90 days of taking office, the budget will be a priority, will be something that we were right in the middle of, and so I want to be able to have be armed with the information and with a mandate from the residents here. I do believe that public safety is a priority, and we've heard that. I believe that we do have, and what you don't hear about or see is the Uplands Fund. We do have an excess which is treated, in my personal opinion, as a reserve fund. We can use that as an emergency fund to fund a lot of the shortfalls that we have. It's budgeted at $55 a barrel. For the last 3 years, we've been over 90. Today we're over $100 a barrel. Last year we had $19 million in excess oil revenues. And 2 years before that, I believe it was an average of $10 million a year. So when we look at budget shortfalls, I don't want to say it's an artificial shortfall, but I don't necessarily want to call the Uplands Fund or the excess oil revenues a one-time fund. It's something that has been very good to Long Beach year after year after year.
Thank you. Next question, and Al, you'll begin on this one. You both have ties in the public sector. Neither of you have a strong private business background. What assurances can either of you give to the business community that you will address the needs of the business community in the city of Long Beach? Al?
Well, I will have a very attentive ear to all stakeholders in the district and throughout the city. The business community is an important stakeholder in our community because they actually do create jobs. There are no jobs, there are no good jobs, there are no union jobs without business. And I understand that and understand that well. So there's an assurance. I will work with our business community as a stakeholder. But beyond that, I'm gonna push back on our business community because I think they have a greater obligation in our city. We have baby boomers who are going to be retiring in big numbers over the next 5 years. And we're losing a lot of the very good institutional knowledge in the workforce. I'd like to see our businesses start taking on high school youth and some of our youth and putting them to work as interns in these businesses. This is something that I want to really push because, you know, we give. We are an enterprise zone. We give to our businesses. We give to our local businesses. We give incentives for them to do business in our city. I would like to see them give back to the young people in our community.
Lillian.
You know, we need to really partner with the private sector. I mean, this is how we're going to really kickstart our economy. I think we've already talked about, you know, the continued budget cuts. And so we've got to grow revenues. And which is the best way to grow revenues? It's really to really, you know, foster and grow our business sector. I've led many programs in small business. In fact, I was actually recruited to sit on the Small Business Development Advisory Network here here right in Long Beach, because of my work with small business, and this is the backbone. So there's a lot more we can do in terms of incentivizing. I've already mentioned that I would have, if I were a council person, an ombudsman in my own district office to really help me do that. We also, on the helping businesses, there are things that we can do in terms of greater efficiency and reform that also may be things that we can save money, and very likely can save money on the city side, and also at the same time be much more business friendly. We have strong incentives that we should really make sure that our businesses know about and they take advantage of. Things like, we talk about the enterprise zone, and we have a piece of legislation we're going to have to work on, so we save that enterprise zone. But we've got VA credits, we have a lot of other credits. A lot of it, though, is an attitude that we want you here, we want you to spend your money here, and we're going to work with you to keep your money and help grow our economy and the related jobs.
Thank you. This is the last question from the community. And Lillian, you will begin on the answer. The question is, the mayor and the council, in the opinion of many people, is a very dysfunctional group, lacking clear direction and primarily interested in pursuing their individual political agendas. What abilities would you bring to the council that would eliminate that perception or reality? And do you think the mayor and the council have done a good job in addressing the city's issues? Starting with Lily.
You know, one of the things that I am a strong advocate for and is really that there would be more time spent out at City Hall, not on Tuesday nights, with the mayor and the 9 city council members, so that they come together to build a relationship, because I think in a lot of ways that's what's missing, is just a sense of relationship, a sense of trust, and also a sense of the greater good of the city. And so one of the things would be to kind of develop, I hate to call it a strategic plan, but really a strong vision and with specifics on how, you know, what is Long Beach about, what is it going to take to get there, if we need additional funding, we need additional partnerships, whatever it might be. So I think that would go a long way for just, one, addressing some of the concerns about civility on Tuesday night, getting out of the office, but more importantly, I think working together to get out of our own districts, to also have a sense of the greater good, the greater Long Beach.
Thank you. Al?
That's a very good question, and I've watched our city council member meetings over the last couple of years with the sense of disappointment. I have, in terms of building relationships with the city council, I've known many of our council members before they ever thought about running for elected office. I have deep, long relationships with many of them that I think I will be able to foster as a city council member to get things done and to get things done for our community. One thing that I would like to see, and I'm not sure if it's even possible anymore, but for so many of our council members, they don't know anything really outside of their own council districts. They don't know, I've seen very few here on First Friday. I've seen very few in our community for the not-so event on the event that doesn't exist on the 4th of July. I've seen very few in areas outside of their district, and I mentioned this at the last Candidates Forum. One council member who I think really did a good job of, making a presence around the city, and that was Val Lurch. He did that as a city council member. I will do that, and I think in doing so, that will give you give our council members a broader perspective about how to look at the city and understand that the issues are facing other areas of the city. The 8th District is very unique. I think we are arguably the most diverse, most economically diverse area in the city. This is a microcosm of Long Beach. And we have something special here. I want to invite the rest of the city to see it and the rest of the world.
All right, thank you. Now we're at the final question that the candidates have submitted to ask the other candidate. And we are going to begin with Lillian. This is your third question to Al. And the third and final question, Al, is this. You and your union represent the Librarians Guild, so you are obviously intimately familiar with the plight of our libraries. How would you solve the matter of dwindling funding for our city libraries? And you have 2 minutes.
Well, that's a good question. And yes, we did represent the Librarians Guild and a number of other city employees and public employees throughout Los Angeles and other municipalities. We represent doctors, lawyers, city clerks. We represent city managers. And I will tell you that the thing that the Librarians Guild in Los Angeles did, they organized themselves, they built community coalitions, they built partnerships, and they made the library a citywide issue. They made the library issue a public safety issue. And they put an initiative on the ballot and they got it passed. And I think that's the spirit that actually, that's the spirit of democracy. That's what it takes to get things done. It takes civic participation, it takes organizing people, and it takes building support. And so to that extent, I would support our librarians or anybody and friends of the library to do just that here in the city of Long Beach.
Lillian, 1 minute rebuttal.
Yeah, I work closely with the Library Foundation, and it's not just a place of education, but it's a place of youth gang prevention. It's also a place where we support our seniors. And so this is an area that I feel very passionate about. We can't just have reading rooms, but we need to make sure that we are able to get sufficient budget. One of the things that I've done is I've actually worked, we formed a donor circle, for lack of a better name. It was a group of people that came together and we were able to set up grants, and these are grants to support literacy. We'd also have a commitment to look at other initiatives, like the one in Los Angeles, which I am not quite sure would work well in Long Beach, but look at these kinds of initiatives so that we can have a very good and sort of predictable funding for our libraries.
Thank you. And this is Al's third and final question to Lillian. Lillian, the question is, what sort of pension reform do you support, if any?
You know, I had a feeling this pension question would come up. The fact is that I'm just very fortunate to have a pension. I did retire in 2008. I put into that pension for over 30 years. And the pension was available to everybody. The rules were the same for everybody at the time when I had the pension. I also have to say that, as a council person, as a person that's a resident of Long Beach, the one thing that we have to assure for this city is we have to assure its financial stability, the long-term financial stability of this city. And it is becoming more and more clear that we have to look at the linkage between the pension and financial stability. And that's for not only the protection of the city, the residents, this is also for the protection of the workers.
Thank you. Al.
Thank you. I'll just tell you the type of reforms I would support. I think we have obviously got to the point where reform is necessary. And there are a few reforms being talked about that I would support. Pension spiking is one. The ability to spike your pension should not happen. You shouldn't be able to move to a new job in the last 2-3 years of your career and get a 30-40% spike in your pension. I think it's important to put caps on pensions. Right now, the average employee, public employee, retires with about 30, 29, $34,000 a year. And that's a study that has been done. Not a great retirement by any stretch, but at the same time, there are others who are retiring with a whole lot more. I would cap pensions at $100,000 a year for any employee. You know, we look at the city of Bell, the Rizzos, that shouldn't happen moving forward.
Thank you. We actually have one more question from the community that came in. It was one that I was leaving the house, and I wanted to start with Lillian. It's very, very, very direct into some of our friends that are not necessarily residents of this neighborhood. I'm sure it came from them. The 8th District is much larger than the Los Cerritos area. What specific area or what specific issue would you want to see done immediately north of Del Amo? Lillian?
Yeah, I think this whole discussion about north and south and tailored to cities is just something that I just think is not productive and it's divisive. And we are really all one district. We're the 8th district from Bixby Road up to this to Spring Street, I'm sorry, to South Street and Market Street. There's no doubt that we have a diversity. There's no doubt that communities are different. But we all have the same needs, the sidewalks, the tree trimming, we still have all of the traffic, we still want employment opportunities, particularly for our young people, we want thriving small businesses. And so, you know, I think that as a council person, you know, I would work to serve the entire district and would actually appreciate that we didn't continue to use these terms that just divide the district.
Thank you. Al?
Well, I wish I could take credit for making up this the term the Tale of Two Cities. It's been around for some time and consistent with Long Beach. It is we are a very diverse city. I will say that, and I think we should embrace that. One thing that I would do, a couple of things that I would push for north of Del Amo, I think we need to expand the gang injunction to include other gangs because it is an issue. I've talked to the city prosecutor. I know there's some interest in doing that. I think we should work to organize more neighborhood associations like this one here. We want to be about the neighborhoods, then the neighborhood associations north of Del Amo need to be formed, and people need to have a vested interest in their community. They need to have designations in terms of where they live. Currently, most of the people in this community who have the most pride in where they live is because they can tell you where they live. I've knocked on doors in North Long Beach and said, what's the name of this community? I don't know. Well, we want to give that community a name. We want to give that community identity, and we want to organize the people there to have a greater voice in the civic participation process in North Long Beach. That's something that I will do immediately.
Thank you. Now we are at the closing comments from each candidate, and reversing the order at the beginning, we're going to begin with Al. You have 2 minutes. Closing comments.
Well, I want to thank you, Jeff. I want to thank you all for indulging us for the last hour and a half. It has been my pleasure to stand before you as a candidate for the 8th District City Council to exchange ideas with my opponent, Ms. Kawasaki. I think it was very civil. I think it was very informative. And I hope you will leave here tonight more informed. Like I said from the beginning, I love this community. I'm running to give back to this community. I am a candidate who can touch every corner of this community and connect with every neighborhood in this community, including Los Cerritos. My children go to school here. I'm your neighbor, and I would appreciate your vote on April 10th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lillian.
Can I applaud?
As long as I get an applause. After 35 years, my husband really knows me well, the fact is too well. And so he likes to say, you know, the city council is a 24/7 job, and he is absolutely right. He says, it's not just City Hall, it's not just the district office, it's when you're at Trader Joe's or when you're over at the market. And, you know, that's a lot to think about, 24/7. But I have to tell you, I'm really up to the challenge. I have the passion, I have the commitment, and this is going to be a full-time job. There's to me no other way, but this is a full-time job to be responsive to your needs. I also have the leadership skills. I go on in ad nauseum. Sometimes I get wonky about all my experience, but that experience and that expertise is what's going to help me on day one make sure that we can get in there and solve your problems. That's what you're telling me. You want us to solve problems, get things going. And I have to also tell you, this is not a springboard for me. I'm here. This is my community. We love it. And this is going to be a commitment that I make to you that my only job will be to serve you, the 8th District, to the best of my abilities, and also to recognize that I will also have to be and enjoy and honor to be a representative of the city as well. So I hope on April 10th you will vote. It's very important that you do, and when you do, I hope you will vote for me to be your next city council member. Thank you.